Today's story is The Lady of the Lake. Arthur had never wished to be king, but he found that the role suited him. He was a wise and fair ruler, and with Merlin as his counsel, was able to do much good. His reign brought a new era of peace to the land. At the heart of Arthur's kingdom was the castle of Camelot. At the centre of the castle was a giant oak table, the legendary Round Table. Only Arthur's greatest, bravest, and most loyal knights had earned themselves a place at that table. In the quieter days, the knights would feast and regale each other with tales of their exploits. In darker times, they would advise Arthur of the battles and difficulties ahead before awaiting his instructions. Although Arthur's knights had done much to battle wrongs and fight lawlessness, no man could ever fully extinguish the flame of evil which flared in the hearts of the lost. There would come times when some of the knights would have to take their leave of Camelot, venturing out to restore order where order had been lost. One day, it happened to pass that all of the knights of the Round Table had been called forth on various quests. On this day, news reached Arthur of a band of bandits dwelling in a forest nearby. These bandits were waylaying unwary travellers and relieving them of their goods, and sometimes their lives. With no knights to send forth to dispatch the bandits, Arthur elected to undertake the task himself. "Sire, this fight is not yours," Merlin advised. "You are needed more on the throne of Camelot than on any battlefield outside. Wait some time until one of your knights has returned. Sir Bors is only 2 days distant. He can relieve the land of these bandits upon his return." Whilst Arthur had grown older and wiser under his crown, he was still a youth, and the foolishness of youth could often flare up inside him. "This is my battle," he told Merlin. "Every day that the land suffers these bandits to live, another innocent life may be lost. As king of this land, any innocent blood I see spilt is blood on my hands. I would see my hands clean before the day is out." Merlin protested further, but could see that his guidance fell on the ears of one who was not listening anymore. Arthur was calling forth for the stable's finest horse and cladding himself in his finest armour. The sword which Arthur had pulled from the stone was now sheathed beside him. In moments, the king was setting out to do battle, and Merlin could do nothing but follow. A handful of miles from Camelot, Arthur entered the heart of the forest. Here his path crossed with that of the bandits. "This is my land," Arthur announced, "and I would be rid of you. Begone, or all will not go well for you." The bandits saw the king of Camelot, but they also saw a solitary knight, armed with a lone sword and accompanied by a wizened fool. Certain that the battle would fall in their favour, they drew their blades and advanced. Arthur's magical blade swept through the air, finding its way past the defences of the bandits. Many bandit lives fell as the blade danced through the air. Arthur was now confident of his own victory and pressed towards the last man, the bandit's leader. This man was a more formidable opponent. His sword skills were easily equal to those of Arthur. Blow after blow was countered by the leader's sword. In turn, Arthur found that he had to defend himself as much as he attacked. The clash of steel rang out through the valley, and Merlin was powerless to help. Then there came a mighty sound. A strike from the bandit leader's blade had shattered Arthur's sword in two. Arthur fell upon his enemy, and the two men fought hand to hand. By now they had both suffered many wounds and were exhausted from the earlier sword fight. For a moment it appeared that Arthur would best his opponent, but the bandit leader swiftly gained the upper hand. However, as he prepared to take Arthur's life, a tiredness suddenly fell upon him and he dropped to the ground. "We must take our leave now," Merlin said. "I do not know how long my sleeping spell will last." Arthur could only stare at his shattered sword, the blade which had made him the King of Britain and ruler of Camelot. He felt the loss of the blade as keenly as he would have felt the loss of his bravest knight. "My sword," he moaned. "I have lost my sword." "No, sire," Merlin urged. "We must take our leave." "But without my sword I am lost," Arthur protested. "Without my sword I am nothing." "I know of a sword finer than this one," Merlin said. "When your wounds are healed, I will take you to it." With these words, Merlin coaxed Arthur out of the clearing and to the safety of a nearby hermit's house. In the days that followed, Arthur rested. The wounds that he had received began to heal, except for one. The loss he felt for the broken sword only grew, and Arthur would talk of nothing else. "This sword," he would say to Merlin, "is it near?" "It is," Merlin would reply. "And is it the equal of the one I lost?" "It is." "When will you take me to it?" "Soon," Merlin would growl. When Merlin judged that Arthur had recovered sufficiently, they bade farewell to the hermit, thanking him for the kindness he had shown. Arthur knew his lands well, but the paths Merlin took into the forest were strange and unfamiliar to him. It was not long before he realised that he was truly lost. Had he known the way himself, then he would have forged ahead on his own, but lost as he was, he was forced to move at the wizard's unhurried pace. There were no signs suggesting that they were anywhere near a village or town. This seemed a most unlikely place to discover a sword of great power. Yet Arthur had grown to place great trust in the Sorcerer's Council. If Merlin said there were a sword to be found here, then a sword would surely be discovered. Not for the first time, he asked Merlin where they were headed. The wizard, however, had grown silent of late, and eventually, finding his questions unanswered, Arthur also learnt to hold his tongue. Eventually, the trees parted to reveal a large clearing. Dense woodland surrounded a lake of clear waters and perfect stillness. A shaft of sunlight filtered through the woodland canopy to lay upon the water's surface, making it glitter like a blanket of the finest diamonds. Despite the warmth of the summer afternoon, the air was cool and a fine mist hung over the lake's furthest reaches. Where earlier the sounds of the forest had been ever present, here all was quiet. It felt as if the forest held its breath and waited. Later, Arthur would recall this place as the most beautiful and tranquil he had ever seen. "Now," he said, "I see no sword here, Merlin." The wizard said nothing but gestured instead to a point further along the banks of the lake. At the edge of the water, a simple wooden boat was waiting. The two men made toward it. Arthur looked inside the boat, and his heart sank. "I see no sword, Merlin." Again, the wizard said nothing but simply sighed. He climbed inside the boat and indicated that Arthur should cast it into the water before joining him. Reluctantly, Arthur did as he was asked and then clambered into the small sailboat. Arthur found that no other effort was needed from him. The boat was drifting as if under its own guidance towards the centre of the lake. Then something moved, rising upwards from the depths of the water. A sword sheathed in a silver scabbard came into view, pointing upward to the sky. Its hilt was held by the hand of an unseen woman with pale white skin. "Merlin!" Arthur gasped. I should never have doubted you." The boat came to a rest next to the sword and its owner. Arthur stared, unsure of what to do, until his companion nodded, indicating that he should take the sword. This Arthur did, and the hand disappeared from sight. At that moment, a light breeze must have entered the clearing, for the boat began to move backwards towards the shore. "Who dwells here?" Arthur asked. "That," answered Merlin, "was the Lady of the Lake, keeper of the sword Excalibur." Arthur turned his attention to the weapon in his grasp. Even sheathed, it was clear that this was the finest sword he had ever seen, even greater than the magical blade he had pulled from the stone all of those years before. Carefully, Arthur withdrew the sword. What he beheld could only have been forged by magic. "Excalibur!" Arthur gasped. "She is magnificent." "Are you blind?" Merlin rebuked him. "Yes, the sword is magnificent, but the scabbard, that is more powerful of the two." Arthur turned to study the sword sheath. Truly, it had been made by an expert, but he could detect nothing especially worthy of Merlin's praise. "Should you wear this scabbard," Merlin explained, "no harm will befall you in battle, no blade will touch you, and you will spill no blood." Arthur sheathed the mighty sword and clasped the scabbard to his belt. "With this sword Excalibur, I can return to my people and be their king," he announced. Arthur did return to Camelot and ruled as wisely as he had done before. For the most part, he was able to maintain peace through tact and diplomacy, but when the need arose, he took to the battlefield along his valiant knights. In the midst of combat, the truth of Merlin's words was proved. With Excalibur's scabbard by his side, Arthur never suffered a wound in battle.